Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that as we continue the study of the story of Joshua, you will speak to our hearts, that we may apply the lessons that we find there to our own lives and be blessed by it. So speak, Lord, help us to listen clearly and to understand what you're saying to us today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Right, we're getting on okay so far, I think. Should be another piece of paper here with some notes on it. Good. Okay, found that. Good. So a fortnight ago, when Tim came to speak to us, he was speaking about the defeat at Ai in chapter 7, about the fact that the Israelites had not consulted God, in spite of being taken through Jericho and being given Jericho and disobeying his instructions. You remember Achan's sin, we thought about that on Wednesday at our Bible study. Chapter 8, we were reminded that in that, the Israelites defeated Ai at God's word with his instructions, and then they renewed the covenant by Joshua reading out the passage of the law that were given by God to Moses, spelt out in Deuteronomy 27 and 28. And now we come to Joshua 9. Jokingly, I said to Christine last week when I asked her if she'd read, I said, I'll make sure there's loads of nasty words in there. And that just shows I hadn't looked at the passage. Because when I came to her, I thought, oh my goodness me, look what she's got. She dealt with them beautifully. And it's not always easy. And I've entitled today's talk, Deception Afoot. I don't know how many of you have moved many times in your life. Yes, well, I think we're at number 12, is it? If we move again, number 12. And I've come to the conclusion that when people buy and sell houses, all their good intentions and all the niceness and the honesty of them goes straight out the window. And they are very keen to lie through their teeth. That sounds harsh, but I found it to be the case. They don't tell you the truth. And there's somebody in the Methodist church at the moment that's trying to move and thought it was all going okay, and then found out the chain had collapsed and the woman that was selling down the chain that was going to buy their house in Mars had known for 3 weeks and not said anything. I said, what's all that about? Okay, why can't we be straight and upfront and honest? So deceit is something that happens in our world. That's a small example. There are many others. And we come to the beginning of this chapter and we find that there's some very good sense by the neighbouring countries. They've seen what's happened at Jericho and they've seen what happened at Ai and they thought, this doesn't look like a good place to be. These Israelites seem to have got this God on their side and we are next in line. So in verses 1 and 2, we see them coming together, joining forces. They all came together, verse 2, to fight against Joshua and the Israelites. Makes sense, doesn't it? If you're a small country or you're not a very strong country, get together with some neighbouring countries to come against this country that's going around attacking and overwhelming each one. So that's in verse 1 and 2. But as we move on to verses 3 to 6, we see that there is one nation, which is or part of a nation, that stands out. They're called these Gibeonites, G-I-B-E-O-N, and they were Hivites or Hivites. So part of the country of the Hivites were this, it was like a clan, I assume. It was really about a city called Gibeon, but there were other cities that were involved with them as well. And they thought, I think that's a bit risky, that all getting together and fighting. I think what we'll do is actually make up a nice story and come sort of cap in hand to the Israelites and say, please can we have peace with you? We'd like to be your friends. And actually they say, we're happy to be your servants. So in verses 3 to 6, we see that we have come from a distant land. In verse 6, we want you to make a treaty with us, a treaty of peace. Now, the Israelites were quite wise initially. But what came out from them when they were asked the questions, why should we make a treaty with you? Do you live nearby? They said, we are at your service. Who are you? Where did you come from? And then there comes out this lovely fairy tale in verses 9 to 13. We've come from a very distant land, sir, because we heard the Lord your God, we've heard about everything that he did in Egypt and what he did to the two kings and all this. And our leaders and all the people that live in our land told us to get some food ready for the trip and come and meet you. Look at our bread. When we left home, it was still warm. But look, now it's dry and mouldy. Very appetizing. And when we filled our wineskins, they were new. But look, they're torn. Look at our clothes. Our togs are worn out from the long trip. A good story. I just stopped there. I wonder how many times you've been told a good story. I know that there were some things that used to go on in what did you used to belong to, John? Was it night?
Team Challenge.
Team Challenge, and there was Night Stop as well, wasn't there? That Ruth was involved in at one time. And you just think, yeah, I bet, and at food banks and so on, and you hear some good stories. Very plausible stories. A good fairy tale and something that sounds very plausible. The Israelites accepted some food from them but did not consult the Lord about it. Hold on. It sounds okay, but they didn't ask God about it. So we carry on reading. So Joshua made a treaty of friendship with the people of Gibeon, allowed them to live. The leaders of the community of Israel gave their solemn promise to keep the treaty. Joshua says, yeah, we should have a treaty of peace with them. And his leaders said, yes, we should as well. Okay, the die was cast. But the serious error was there in verse second part of verse 14. They did not consult the Lord about it. Naturally, here in the story, they felt sorry for them. They felt that their empathy, you know, they reached out to God. These poor people, they've come all this journey to make peace with us. And they've said they're going to be our servants. And look at the state that they're in. Haven't even got some decent bread to eat. Oh, we've got to make peace with them. We've got to accept them. But they hadn't asked God what he thought about it. I'm quite gullible. I try and think the best of people. Many times over the years, Enid has been God's mouthpiece to me. And she has said, hold on a moment. There's something about that I'm not too sure about. And over time, it's come out that she's been absolutely right. Not that she's not empathetic, not that she doesn't care about people, but that she's perhaps a bit more in tune with God's spirit and sees that there is a danger in there to be careful. The serious error was they didn't actually ask God about what had been said. So what happens? They're found out, verses 16 to 18, which we didn't read. But 3 days after the treaty had been made, the Israelites learned that these people did indeed live nearby. Part of the Hittites. Hivites. There they were, one of the neighbouring countries. So the people of Israel started out, and 3 days later arrived at the cities where these people lived. Gibeon, Chephirah, Beeroth, and Kiriath Jearim. But the Israelites could not kill them because their leaders had made a solemn promise to them in the name of the Lord, Israel's God. All the people complained to the leaders about this. Just imagine. You lot were conned. Huh? You call us leaders? The leaders of us? Joshua, what's the matter with you? I thought you had God's ear, or you were God's ear to us. What's gone wrong here? These are the people that are actually out to get us, and you've made a treaty, which means we can't do anything about them. Found out. Because they made that treaty, verse 18, in God's name. They said before God, we will not kill these people, we will accept them and make a peace treaty with them. The consequences, verses 19 to 21. But they answered, we have made our solemn promise to them in the name of the Lord God of Israel. Now we cannot harm them. We must let them live because of our promise. If we don't, God will punish us. Let them live, but they will have to cut wood and carry water for us. This was what the leaders suggested. We're in a bit of a mess here. We can't really get out of the mess because we've made that commitment to God. We've made that solemn oath to God that we won't hurt these people. But what we will do is help them to, we'll ask them to serve us. They can cut wood, carry water, for the sanctuary and for the people, so they can really serve us. Interesting that they were going to do part of that was for the sanctuary. These were not God-fearing people. They would have been exposed then to what went on in the sanctuary. They would have heard more about this God of Israel. So, verses 22 to 27 talk about a promise that's kept. Joshua ordered the people of Gibeon to be brought to him, and he asked them, why did you deceive us and tell us that you were from far away when you live right here? Because you did this, God has condemned you. Your people will always be slaves, cutting wood and carrying water for the sanctuary of my God. They answered, we did it, sir, because we learned that it was really true, that the Lord your God had commanded his servant Moses to give you the whole land and to kill the people living in it as you advance. We did it because we were terrified of you. We were in fear of our lives. Now we are in your power. Do with us what you think is right. So this is what Joshua did. He protected them and did not allow the people of Israel to kill them. But at the same time, he made them slaves to cut wood and carry water for the people of Israel and for the Lord's altar. To this day, they have continued to do this work in the place where the Lord had chosen to be worshipped. The promise was kept, but Joshua made it very clear. Yeah, they got it right, hadn't they? They heard what Moses had said, how God had used Moses, and that they were going to take over those lands or from Jericho onwards. And they were frightened. Perfectly understandable. It's what the other nations were frightened as well. They decided to get together to form a big army. But these people, the Gibeons, decided that they would actually make up this story to deceive the Israelites. He protected them and did not allow the people of Israel to kill them. They were a protected people. And as we have said earlier, we are in a position where so often we are confronted with people where we don't know whether a story is true or not. And I thought about footprints. And I'm sure if Ruth was here, she could tell us many stories about people that had conned footprints. I'll come back to that in a little while. We are told in Matthew 10, verse 16, Jesus said that we should be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We need wisdom But we also need compassion and empathy. And that's not always easy. God's wisdom is needed so often. It's amazing how when people want money, they find churches, they find ministers. And I've had a few instances of that where I've been asked, and some very complicated stories have come out about they've got to travel to the other end of the country and this is the money they need. And I always said, well, I'm sorry, but we don't actually have any money on the premises. We don't carry them. And they go storming off and you think, okay. And we've had one or two instances since we've been here as well where stories have come out. It's very interesting when the stories come out and they get linked to Ruth, and Ruth says, well, if you come to Footprints tomorrow and say you've spoken to me, we can help you further. And they don't turn up. Wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Ruth was prepared to go the extra mile for that person, and yet was wise enough to say, well, let's check out the fact. Let's see whether this actually resonates or not. We hear of people that are conning the benefit system. Let's do away with it. No, that would be wrong. That wouldn't be compassionate. People need help. They're struggling. And it's very hard for the government to put in place rules that actually will seek out those that don't deserve it but are claiming it. So we see it in food bank. I know John and Elaine, many years, have done food banks, and Ingrid and I have done them. We've heard some wonderful stories, some great storytellers around. And some of them are probably absolutely true, and some of them were figment of their imagination, a good fairy tale. So we've got to be compassionate. What can we learn from this? Lessons for us. We need to be compassionate but wise. We need God's wisdom. Where does God's wisdom come from? Pentecost last week, the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will guide us into all things. We need grace, we need mercy, but we also need a sensible head on our shoulders. We need to check out the facts if we can. Perhaps asking them to make simple steps to prove what they said is true. And we will make mistakes. I've been called out from time to time. And my attitude always is, well, I did it for the right reasons. And if I've been conned or the church has been conned, God knows that. And they have to stand in judgment before God, not me. Let's err on the side of grace, mercy, compassion and empathy. A promise made should always be a promise kept. That's a lesson in itself, isn't it? The Israelites got it wrong, particularly Joshua and the leaders. But what they made as a decision, they kept. And it was a promise made to God. They carried it through. We remind ourselves time and again, don't we, of all the promises God makes to us. What is it, over... what the number is, but it's some huge number in the Bible. And we remind ourselves that God never ever breaks a promise. And nor should we. And when we do, then we need to say sorry to God and possibly go and say sorry to the person that we've offended, where we've got it wrong. So an interesting story. It's all right for the Gibeonites. They got what they wanted. They were protected people. But remember, they were also exposed to the work of the tabernacle, of the temple, of the place where God dwelt. They were exposed to the Lord God that they were terrified of, remembering back to what Moses had done. So an interesting lesson. Deception afoot. Wonderful story. Wonderful fairy tale. How much easier it would have been for the Israelites if they had only sought God's guidance rather than gone their own way. Let's be gracious, merciful, compassionate, empathetic people. But also let's seek God's guidance when we're put into situations where we're not sure what we should do, how we should react. We want to show God's love and grace to other people. But we're also called to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. May God guide us day by day in serving him and serving others. Amen. And we're going to sing as a final hymn what I always told is the Seaman's hymn, which is "Lead us, Heavenly Father, lead us o'er the world's tempestuous sea." Let's stand if we're able to.